God, it's another end of the month, so it's time to answer. Question has to do
hide him from the presence of God, and in order that God had already judged him. God had judged him, and his judgment was that he was to be a fugitive, and he could never be in the presence of God. That was the curse put on Cain, and anybody that killed Cain would have the vengeance of God upon him. You remember in Genesis chapter 12, verse 19, the Bible said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Cain would answer to God. And so God placed that curse upon him, and man was not in a position to fight against or to override God. And so that has to do with Cain. Now, Cain's wife, where did she come from? I know, I've been asked that question a lot. My answer to you is it came from within the family of Adam. Either came from Cain's own descendants, or he came from Seth's descendants. Why do I say that? That's the only two options there are. There are no other options. What other people are on the face of the earth? Did Cain have children? Yes, he did. We'll look in Genesis chapter 4, verse number 16. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden, and Cain knew his wife and conceived, and she had children. Cain had a wife. He had children. Whatever that wife came from had to do with either the family of Abel, who had died, or it had to do with Abel's offspring, or it had to do with Seth's offspring that was born right after the death of Abel. So it had to come from one or the other. So it was within his family that came from. Now that sounds odd to us, because of laws that we have today where you can't marry within your family, first cousins, and that type of thing. But we know in the Old Testament that many times, if you remember, that Rebecca her father was the brother of Isaac's wife. And so, again, when the world was populating and when it was producing, there were many marriages within family. And so that's the only answer that really we can come up with. But the other answer I always give to people who ask me this is, if God could create one man out of the dust, he could create many. And so this is one of those things in Deuteronomy 29:29, the Bible says, secret things belong to God. There are a lot of details that God didn't tell us. Why didn't God tell us that? Well, because in God's understanding, things wasn't important. This goes along with questions like, were there dinosaurs in the earth? If they were around, and they were, no matter how big they were in the earth. I don't know that, because we don't have the answer to that. And so, those are things that we've got to leave alone. What's that about questions that God does not reveal? Somehow people believe that gives them evidence why God is not real, because he didn't tell us everything we wanted to know. Right? That God didn't do that because we didn't need to know. That's something that has nothing to do with our salvation. You know, it's nice to talk about. It's nice to have some hypothetical guesses and to have some, dialect about what could have happened. But we can't be definitive because we don't know. But obviously he had a wife, and obviously he had children, and his offspring would have other children. But it seems to me, from my study of the Bible, it had to come either from Seth or from Cain's family before he killed Abel. And that's the only answer that I can give you, because the Bible doesn't give any other answer. Now, there's another problem in Genesis, and this has caused problems. And it has to do with Genesis 6:1. We can take the Bible and look at that. And these four verses have caused many to wonder about the things that are said. And there are many different answers given to what this means. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he indeed is flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also afterwards, and when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and were born children to them, Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Now, the questionnaire asks, who were the sons of God and the daughters of men? And why were these men mighty? This verse states they were mighty men who were men of old, men of renown. What does that mean? Okay? What does it mean the sons of God married the daughters of men? Well, here's one argument that has been confessed by many in the religious world, is that the sons of God, which meant angels, married the daughters of men. Well, that can't be. That can't be for two reasons. Number one, what does the Bible, what incorporates the law that God put in effect in the beginning when he created the world? Remember the little phrase that he said after he created the animals, created the animals, plant life? Remember the little phrase he said? That everything reads to him after its own time. How can an angel and a human being conceive and bring forth children? That's impossible. You know how else I know that? Matthew 22. You remember when they came to Jesus and they gave him this scenario under the old law of Moses that if a man died, he didn't have children, and his brother was supposed to take his wife as his wife, and he had a child, that his genealogy would have his name, and that his genealogy would continue his family when he died. And they gave him this hypothetical situation that this man had seven brothers, and they all had it, and then she died. And the question was, his wife shall she be in the resurrection because they all had her as wife. They thought they had it. Because the people that asked that were the Sadducees who didn't believe in the resurrection. And so they thought they said it. And you remember what Jesus said? He said, you err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Why? Because in heaven, marrying of angels, men are like angels. And angels do not marry, nor are they given angels. Angels don't marry. Why? Because it's not a flesh and blood relationship. Marriage is a flesh and blood relationship. Whoever these men and daughters are, they're both flesh and blood. Because that's a flesh and blood relationship. Understanding of this is that the sons of God were men who were striving to follow God. Those who were daughters of men were women who were following the earth and the heathens that were in the earth at that time. And how I know that is what is this chapter introduced? The flood. Why is the flood coming upon the earth? Because the Bible says that man's heart was evil continually. Now, here's what I would say about the sons of God and the daughters of men. I would use Noah and his sons as exemplars. Noah's sons and their wives were taken young. That would suggest to me that the daughters that they chose were not of the daughters of men. Because they found grace in the eyes of the Lord and Noah. So the sons of God were those who were striving to follow God. And the daughters of men were those who were following the heathen and the evil that was in the world. Now, in the reading, there were giants in the world at that time. And we can read this in Numbers chapter 13 and other places. And there were numbers, and if those women married giants, they were considered mighty men. Giants were considered mighty men. They were able to have leverage over the normal man. If you don't believe that, remember Goliath and David. Remember when David came out to meet Goliath? What did Goliath do? He laughed at him. He called him a dog. He said, here's your little puny shepherd boy. And he's coming up to meet this 9-foot giant because there were giants in the land. These were mighty men. Men of renown. Men who had a history and they had leverage because they were mighty because they were giants. And some of the daughters of men married both giants. And they reproduce children because there are giants that will be later. We see giants as late as in the book of Numbers. And so I don't know how long giants were on the earth. Also the mighty men that have reference to in verse number 3. And they were men of renown because they had a reputation. for centuries have tried to find contradictions in God. And they have offered many different things to show that God is contradictory. The questionnaire asks, explain Hebrews 4:5 and Hebrews 6:22. Is this God a contradiction? One uses a singular word and the other a plural word. Well, let's look at the two verses. Let's begin with Ephesians 4, verse 5. And most of this verse, you all know this. It has to do with the seven Christians, 7:1. And in Ephesians 4, verse 5, it says, there is one body, as you have been called into one spirit, just as you were called in one husband of your fellow. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, Ephesians 4, 5 says, there is one baptism. All right, now turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Look at verse 1 and 2. Hebrews 6, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elements and principles of Christ, let us go on to the text, not laying again the foundation of the temple, the dead work, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. The doctrine of baptism. Baptism in Hebrews 6, 2 is 4. In Ephesians 4, 5, it says that it is 1. Is that a contradiction? Well, those who believe in the Holy Spirit baptism will always point to this passage in Hebrews 6 to show that there's more than one kind of baptism. But they're wrong. And is it a contradiction? Does the Bible teach doctrines of baptism? Yes. There are six baptisms in the Bible. The baptism unto Moses. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. Brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all the fathers were under the sea, under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now, what it was the baptism in the Moses? What was that baptism? That was the crossing of the Red Sea. Remember when they crossed on dry ground? What happened to the water? There was a wall on the left, a wall on the right. What was in the river last night? In essence, they went under the water. God held the water at bay. But that was the baptism. That was considered the baptism. It was unpromoted. Now, let me ask you a question. Who did that baptism come from? It's only the body of the children of Israel that caused the Red Sea. Is that baptism in effect today? No. It serves the purpose. There's another baptism in the Bible, the baptism of John. Look at Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, Paul goes into Ephesus. And he begins talking to some there in Acts chapter 19, and they being converted to Christ. And he asks him some questions. Acts chapter 19, it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul passed through the upper region and came to Ephesus. Finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether it is the Holy Spirit. And he said to them, so what day will you baptize? And so they said, it's a John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe. Baptisms that are mentioned, the baptism of fire and the baptism of spirit. Now, it is interesting to note here, the baptism of fire is a baptism of judgment. How is the Lord going to baptize this fire? If you can immerse, consider, into a certain point, that is the baptism of fire. You know, I have been in religious organization services, and many women stood up and prayed for the baptism of fire. You know what they believe it is? They believe it's the gift of the Holy Spirit that has come, that will add the fire in Acts 2. They believe that the baptism of fire comes that will give you the power. That's not the baptism of fire. The baptism of fire is the baptism of judgment. Judgment that will be rendered by the judge. John 5:22 says, all judgment has been given to God. So the baptism of judgment or fire, what about the Holy Spirit baptism? Holy Spirit baptism can only be administered by God. It was an accident, it was an accident. We never read it again after accident. Holy Spirit baptism was a promise, a fulfilled promise. It was never commanded by God, it was never commanded by men. It was a baptism that could only be administered by God. Is it in effect today? No, it's not. Why? Because that baptism is for this purpose. Why did that baptism even come to pass? Because God's Spirit had to be poured out on the Spirit and on the Gentiles. That was fulfilled in Acts 4:10, and it was fulfilled in Gentiles in Acts 10 by Cornelius. Now, So far we've got the baptism of Moses, baptism of John, baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and there's one more, baptism of suffering. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Look at verse number 23. Thank you.
baptism of John was a preparatory baptism that would lead men to Christ. The baptism of fire is a baptism that has not yet come. It will come to those who are unprepared to meet God. You have the baptism of the Holy Spirit that was ministered by God and only came on two occasions. It was never commanded. The baptism of prophets that applies to the Lord and to the apostles. Those are all gone. What one remains? The baptism of Ephesians 4 and 5. The baptism of the baptism of the ministry. In Acts 2:38, I ask any brethren what shall we do? Be baptized I can put my nonprofit status and I can prove the work that I do for the pay that I receive.
A lot of big television backers, they have a big problem. They have a real big problem in this town with the government of the South. Don't worry, that'll never happen because it's possible. That'll never happen.
So we have to know. And I'll just add one more thing here because I've been asked. Does that mean when our kids have things in school, like only girls have to be because they're running and they want you to sponsor them?
You do this, you do that, and you try to get members of the church.
You're walking a fine line.
You need to be very careful and not intertwine the two.
I'm not saying it's simple. I'm saying it's dangerous. You have to keep the two separate. Just give you one example of what I'm talking about, and then the lesson is yours. We lived in Ohio.
My wife, we were told from the church for about 3 years.
Never had to have a shoulder any member of the church while we lived. There's something for her, and wanted them to come to their home and have a show, and she did that. They approached them, but she never used her role as being the preacher's wife, as being an outlet, in order to be able to expand her business. Didn't do that because I believe that's dangerous. Second thing we did do, when we delivered the idol, never delivered the new book. Why? Because I know brethren. And I know some people would have a problem. So how do you rectify a problem? Don't create a problem. Do you have to do it here? No. You can do it in the home, you can do it afterwards, you can do it on another day, you don't have to do it. Would it be more convenient to do it then? No. But should that cause somebody to have a problem with that? Yes. What do you think? But you gotta be very careful. The church has a distinct business and its spirit is to do the Lord's work. We should be very careful to always make that distinction. Brethren, we make a very big deal about those in the religious world that have turned the Bible and turned religion into a social gospel. We make a very big deal about that, and we should because it's a violation of God's will. Let us not complicate the situation by giving them ammunition to come back home. Well, what? You do this or you do that. Take that argument away from you, then there's no problem. I appreciate your questions, and I'll do my best every month to give you a Bible answer.
There was another question, but we'll save that for the end of March. I encourage you to put your questions in the box, and I'll do my best to answer them every month. Why don't you take your song books out and turn to the song your brother Mel has selected for a song of encouragement. If you were here and